This morning, we are looking at what does faith look like? You ever wonder, what does faith look like? Well, John the Baptist. Does faith look like John the Baptist? A man in camel skin, camel hair, you know, and long hair, long beard, and preached in the wilderness and on the series Chosen. I think it's Chosen. He says they're talking about Crazy John. So, does faith look like John the Baptist? Crazy John out in the wilderness eating locust pods, you know, and wild honey? Does faith look like Moses going in and confronting Pharaoh and leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea and out in the wilderness and having to travel for 40 years? Faith looked like Samson. Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, takes the, you know, can carry the gates of the city off their bounds and haul them up over the hill, and then he can be subdued by Delilah. Well, does it look like Jesus? Faith, gentle, forgiving, comforting, loving, healing, leading. So we look at these things and say, okay, how do we arrive at what faith looks like? Well, the Greek word for faith is pistero, which its root meaning is to believe. So faith basically means to believe. Now, I should leave this up to teachers, but I'm going to just tell about it like I know what I'm talking about. Faith, a noun, is a word that represents a person, place, or a thing. Haha, I got that one right, looked it up. Alright, faith is a verb, would be describing an action, state, or occurrence. Faith as an adjective is a word that modifies or describes a noun or a pronoun. Yes. So I'll leave that rest of that up to the teachers. If you want to know more, look it up. So anyhow, as we find and look at faith, it can be a number of things. It can be a noun. It can be an object. It can be an action. It can be something that describes our work. So what does faith look like? Well, there are words that are associated with faith. Acceptance, belief, confidence, conviction, hope. Remember, what does faith look like? Allegiance, assurance, belief in a higher being, a community of believers, faith group. We have faith associated with the words church, conviction, denomination, doctrine. Faith has strong attachments to communion, confession, connection, profession, revelation. So all these words are things that look at us and say, okay, what, you know, I'm giving you some help on what does faith look like. So does that help answer your question? No, but I thought I'd put it out there. So basically, faith can be confusing, that faith is not Disney's Frozen. All you have to do is just believe, you know, some fantasy. We find that the purpose of this message then, we are discovering the effects of our new birth in Christ. So when we start talking about faith, we have all these lists of things and words, and we use faith often in our vocabulary, that we've got to be a person of faith. But what does a person of faith believe or do? Well, it begins with our reception, our receiving of Jesus Christ as our Savior. That if we have faith enough to confess that Christ to forgive us, we have enough faith. See, often we think of faith as quantitative. You know, do you have a cup full, a thimble full, a gallon, a reservoir, a 5 million gallon? Well, how much faith do you have? Well, the Bible says if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed. I mean, it's the smallest, little, tiniest seed you can ever imagine. Faith is a grain of mustard seed, so faith isn't quantitative. Now, there's a couple other things that kind of illuminate what we're looking at here as describing faith, and I bet you don't have never thought of it this way. If I were a betting man, I would say that. I'm not betting. All right, so he said it, I heard him. Betting, Pastor Betts. Well, anyhow, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. This is the New Living Translation. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Did you ever hear your faith being attractive? In the NIV, it's full of grace, but let your faith be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for every situation. How about 1 Timothy 2:10? Women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. They should make themselves, their actions, appropriate for women. And then Paul to Titus says, teach slaves to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. The NIV has make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. So, can you imagine what the word is that we're trying to emphasize here? Drum roll. The word is, what does faith look like? Attractive. Attractive. Now, I don't know about you, but I never thought of it that way. I never thought of it being attractive. So, and the reason for that is the kind of attractive person we're looking for isn't one whose beauty and charm is set forth. We think of an attractive person as one who is outwardly beautiful. You know, their trappings are good, they dress well. There's nothing wrong with being attractive or handsome. There's nothing wrong with beautiful beauty products and putting on paint, you know. Years ago when I was a kid, it was wrong for women to cut their hair and, you know, to wear makeup. And I remember the preacher said, if the old barn needs painted, paint it. So, so I can still remember that, you know. I wouldn't go far today, you know. You know, if you want to wear makeup, the old barn needs painted, paint it, you know. It's just, no. But we had lots of things that were... and just say we were trying to find our way in our faith. And so we had to, it was necessary, just put it that way. So there's nothing wrong with being attractive or using makeup and dressing moderately, things like that. So the word seemingly is out of place in our vocabulary when it comes to faith. Attractive, the adjective for attractive means pleasing or appealing to the senses, appealing to look at, sexually alluring. Now that is not the word we're looking for. So that, I think, is the why we look at this and say, our faith isn't attractive, it's not alluring, you know, it's not sexually alluring. So that's not the meaning, all right? So when we're talking about attractive, that's not what we're looking for. So that's why the word attractive is a hard concept for us to kind of, for me, it was a hard concept to get my faith around or my understanding around. So we find in 1 Samuel 16:7, when Samuel was impressed by the handsome features of Jesse's sons, meaning he could have used the word attractive, his handsome features, the Lord reminded him, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So whenever we are looking at people being attractive to God, we are looking at the heart of what is behind our motive, to behind what we are saying and doing. God's children are all attractive in the inner man, inner faith. And the attractive meaning that we are looking for is the most attractive persons, the most attractive people are those who are drawn to the matchless person of Jesus Christ. That's the attractive. Being drawn to Christ. You see, drawn to Jesus can't get enough. That you're reading the scriptures, you're wanting to know more about him. You know, Joe and Sandy have been here. They've had to, I don't know, it's privilege. sat under my ministry for 3 years, and they still like me. You know, you guys, you've been doing it for 40, how many years? 40? 44 years. So you see what happens with just 3 years. I mean, you're going to, you know. But Sandy always said I picked on her, and you know, I don't do that anymore, right, Judy? I don't pick on people. So, but we find that you can't get enough. You can't get enough of Jesus. You know, so why do I continue to preach and teach and do all this stuff? It's because the knowledge that we have is always expanding, always growing in our relationship with Jesus. You never reach a point where you've got enough. I've learned enough. You're falling through the trap door there. We are wanting to know more about Christ, know more about our faith, and even little tweaks and things of what goes on. If we change, and I used to think of this, I flew from New York to Johannesburg, and it was about, I think it was 12 hours, whatever. It was a long time in the airplane. It was about 6 movies. So if you want to know how long plane trips are, how many movies did they play? So it was a long trip, but if you think that in that trip from New York City to Johannesburg, South Africa, if you are off 1 degree, you could miss the whole continent. Okay. 1 degree. So if we change our course 1 degree today, what's 1 degree? One influence, it takes us in a whole different direction than where we were going. And that's the bit-by-bit, step-by-step relationship, walk with God that we have. It's not necessarily a monumental explosion and everything goes wonderfully well and our life is on cloud 9 all the time and, you know, all that. You know, it doesn't work that way. But learning more about Jesus, learning about his care and his love for us. We know more and understand. We see him more clearly in the scriptures. Our faith is to be attractive. That's the word. Secondly, our faith must be livable. So not only is it our faith good looking, no. Not only is our faith lovable and livable, it's livable in the sense that, you know, there are groups, and I don't want to go too far off, but there are groups that what they believe and how they expect people to live are not unattainable. They can't attain to the distinction that they want to have in their faith, so people just kind of play along. You know, years ago, it was considered, you know, there were people that would go to the Holy Lands and they would go out into the desert and they would try to stay there for 40 days, 40 nights, just like Jesus. And I don't know if any of them ever finished, but many of them did die because they were trying to find that relationship with God, and they thought that it could be found in solace. They thought that it could be found in a cave, in meditation. Some faith put isolation, that you go into a colony or into a group and you stay in that group, you never go outside of the building. So we look at these things that their faith, where does it take them? Their faith isn't livable. It's isolated. It's in a vacuum. So it's not just anyone can do this type of life. They emphasize that you're special if you can come and live this type of life. Well, I'm speaking of a livable faith, meaning that the Holy Spirit is working in your life and he lives through you every moment of every day. That the Holy Spirit is your helper, your companion, the one who is called alongside you to help. He's your best friend. God is your best friend. He considers you his best friend. So we look at this, our life is livable, our faith is livable, and faith needs to be active, it needs to be alive, it needs to see how that the grace of God and his mercy are very much a part of God's divine favor and God's divine plan for our life. Faith needs to be in action. Faith needs to be in motion. Now, sometimes our faith in action, don't want to say that faith is always doing something. If you're not doing something, your faith is dead. No, sometimes our faith says, be still and know that I am God. You know? So faith is not always, you know, running and doing and, you know, ministry and this and that. And no, faith can be moving us, leading us, but it also can have us stand still and know that I am God. You know, you need to be still and listen to what I'm trying to say to you, allowing the Spirit to speak to us. Faith in action is going to church. I'll pause for that one. But that's not all. It's much more. You know, just showing up on a, you know, and you know, I'm not, you know. Just show up. You know, it's like you don't beat the people who show up. It's the ones that are not here you need to get to, you know. So faith in action involves more than trying to outwardly act like a Christian. See, people who just show up every once in a while, they're trying to act like a Christian. But you see, we do not try to be a Christian. We are in Christ, and we are in Him, and we are Christ-like. Because Christ abides within us, Christ-like. Our body is His temple, His dwelling place. The Holy Spirit begins to reproduce the character and personality of Jesus in us. The process is at work every moment of every hour of every day. God is at work leading us, developing us, challenging us. Max Lucado wrote this, and when I read it, I thought, I got to use this one. What if for one day Jesus were to become you? Now, it doesn't mean you're off somewhere on vacation. You know, you're there with Him, but He's to become you, and you're just kind of observing Jesus in your body. What if for 24 hours Jesus wakes up in your body, in your bed, walked all day in your shoes, lives in your house, goes to your job, assumes all your daily schedules? Now, would there be a change? Would people notice that there's something different about you? Or would this be you? And so we find that that's the challenge of allowing God to work in and through us. You know, you don't want people to show up. You will show up at work the next day and say, boy, you were different yesterday. What was wrong? That's what I'm like every day. Don't you believe me? So the challenge is, if Jesus were truly living in and through us, we would allow the Holy Spirit to help us live the life of Christ in our daily life. We're not talking perfection. We're not trying to belittle or put down. We're placing an invitation in front of us. What does faith look like? It looks like Jesus, and it is livable. Jesus lived with the people. He wasn't secluded in some island or some, you know, off in some cave somewhere. He was with people all the time, except when He went away to pray. But we find that he was very much involved. So we want to see how that the spiritual nature of Christ works in our life. So true spirituality is more than just getting up and going to church or fulfilling an obligation. You know, some people attend church because of obligations. It's being Christ to the world around us. Being Jesus to the world around us. Years ago, they had a little band, What Would Jesus Do? Well, it's more than that. It's being Christ. Faith is livable. So, faith, what does faith look like? Well, faith is attractive, faith is livable, and faith is lovable. Oh, you're so cute. Not that lovable. not that type of lovable. But faith is lovable, is one like Christ who is forgiving. The woman who was being stoned, you know, they wanted to stone her. She's caught in a very act of adultery. We want to kill her. What does the law say? What do you say? And Jesus says, you who have never committed a sin, cast the first stone. He was lovable to her, who was just an object to be used to try and frame or have vengeance on Jesus. So we find that, you know, he was a lovable person, that hanging on the cross, the thief, he has time for the thief, and, you know, says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That is a love that looks beyond our faults, all the problems that we're facing, and touching the needs of individuals who are looking for help. We're mistaken if we think we can serve God in our own strength, because it is Christ-like, not what we assume Christianity or Christians should be. We are weak, God is strong. I always quote the thing in Scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have greater strength because of who Christ is and his abiding presence. Peter spoke in 1 Peter 3:16, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Live a life that with people slander you, that they end up being ashamed for what they've said, because you're not God. I find no fault in him. if you want to know something's, if you have no fault, you're probably going to go to heaven. So, right now, you know. So we have a faith that is lovable and a faith that is likable. You know, these all kind of go together. So, likable. Can you guess what the next one is? All right. But anyhow, it's likable. The Christ-like person is becoming more patient. Maybe I should stop there. The Christ-like person is becoming more patient, kind, free from envy, gentle, not easily angered, joyful, concerned about others, giving and forgiving, putting the needs of others before their own needs, trustworthy, dependable, honest, and kind. The traits of likability. I didn't ask you to raise your hand on which one of these fit your life, but we know that likability is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One man wrote, the best argument for Christianity is Christians. Their joy, their certainty, and their completeness. But the strongest argument against Christianity is also Christians. When they are self-righteous, smug, complacent, and when they are narrow and repressive. So you find that, excuse me, my voice is gone, that when we are looking at our life, that we're portraying, or we are being viewed, some people, it's the only Bible they read is what we portray, what we give, and what we put before them. An evangelist experienced a woman who came to him when he was, imagine this, he was conducting a radio broadcast. The lady raked him over the coals, and she was saying, you pastors and priests, you're a bunch of thieves and liars and crooks. All you want is to deceive people. All you want is money. She continued her rant for about 20 minutes. Then she sank back in her chair, exhausted. The evangelist simply looked at her and said, Madam, is there anything I can do for you? How can I help you? The woman broke into tears and finally said, you know, in the 38 years that I have lived, you are the first person who has ever asked if they could help me. So we find that there is so much that goes on in our faith that is likable, livable, lovable. And to let the lady had, I have this, but what do you got there? A lozenger. Well, you know, the preacher who put one of these in, he would preach till it disappeared. You're in for it. Faith isn't funny. Oh, well. So faith is likable. Faith that is learnable. Learning. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. So faith that is patient and kind, free from envy, gentle, not easily angered, joyful, concerned, giving, forgiving, helping, trustworthy, dependable, honest, and kind, is speaking the truth in love. A faith that has learned these godly principles become the new you in Christ. These principles become the new you in Christ. Our conversion experience is a new beginning, followed by a lifetime of growth. We believe with God all things are possible, even that I can change, even that I can allow the Holy Spirit to teach me, guide me, that I can grow. It isn't that we're not growing or that there's something wrong with us, there's something wrong with you. No, this is where we are at. This is the place that God is working in our life and brought us to this point in time. The challenge is that there's more for us to become. There's more for God to do in our life, and we're just barely touching the surface. And if we can see the vastness of God's plan and the vastness of God's grace and mercy and how that it's going to work in your life, that's very important, because we can change. We can become what God has in store for us. So we want to be teachable. Jesus spent 3 years teaching the disciples, and their preconceived ideas kept them from hearing what Jesus was trying to tell them. Their preconceived ideas of a Messiah, of a kingdom to drive out the Romans, all of that kept them from hearing what Jesus was teaching them. So for us, we have preconceived ideas. We have some, you know, what is the church? What is Christ? What is the Bible? What is our relationship with God? What is church? We have these preconceived ideas, and maybe they're correct. But generally, we need to keep tweaking them and changing them and recognizing that it's greater than is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he's trying to lead us from step by step through our growth and development. So we always are learning. We're always growing. We need Jesus as a Savior. We need to read the Bible. We need to see Jesus. You know, John, the book of John, I think is the one, you know, the Gospels are great. But I prefer John because John presents the person of Christ. We see him more personally in the Gospel of John. And we see John, you know, John is probably the closest friend of Jesus of anyone here on earth and of any person. And John, in the Last Supper, is one who puts his head on his shoulder. John is the one that is with him in each of the great miracles, the transfiguration. John is one that is there. John writes the gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And he's able to present to us a picture of the man, the person Jesus. The more we know of the person of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the more that our faith is going to be, you know, attractive. The more attractive our faith becomes, that we are drawn to it. So this attractive faith does not fade with age. It doesn't need to be painted up. It gets better and brighter like the rising of the sun. So what does faith look like? Faith is attractive. It's something that we're drawn to. Faith is livable. We can live with our faith. We can die with our faith. We are set for eternity to live with God. Faith is lovable. That as Christ loved the thief on the cross or the woman caught in the act of adultery and her sin, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Likeable. learnable. You see, faith is that which continues to grow. Faith in Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we look at our faith and we think that God, I see it as God creating dreams in our hearts and in our minds. He creates those dreams, he creates those things inside of us so that he can help us grow and become that which he has for us. But we have to somehow get rid of our preconceived ideas about how it's all supposed to happen and allow God to lead us in his path of righteousness. So if you can believe, if you have faith enough, if you have a grain of mustard seed, it's like the head of a pin, you can move mountains. And if you can move mountains by your faith, God can move you in your walk with him. Amen. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And that happens every day. Every day, the promises of God are renewed. Shall we stand? Father, we are indeed grateful that what faith looks like you. The more we know of you, Lord, the more we allow your Spirit to teach us, to mold us, to help us be that one of compassion and kindness and forgiveness, mercy, grace. All these things, Lord, that speak of your love and a change of character. Because we have a change of nature. We are a new creation in Christ. So we ask you to bless our lives, bless the future that you have for us, bless the dreams that are in our life. Bless them, O Lord, and cause us to walk with you daily. And we know that as we walk with you, nothing will ever separate us from your presence and from you. I pray for your healing to be with us. I pray for your healing touch to touch our lives and our loved ones. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just surround us and cover us. I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin wash us over and be that hedge of protection around our lives and our families. We pray, Lord, for the move of your Holy Spirit in our life that we can see that the faith that we are moving toward is our continual walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.